EFRC.ca.
Good afternoon and welcome to 30 Years of Nonsense with Sherry and Terry Doherty.
Yeah, hey guys, welcome.
Welcome. This is our last live show for the year.
No, it's not. We're yes, live next. No, no. We're
oh,
live
you're right.
Next. Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm lying.
Yeah, yeah.
First sentence out of my mouth is a lie. That's not good. Sorry, I forgot we are going to come to you live and in person on Boxing Day.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I forgot. Yes, we're actually having a social gathering at our house on Boxing Day, but we're kicking all of our friends out at 3 o'clock so we can be sure to be down to the radio station for 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? Why are we leaving?
I'm straight up lying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm doing. That's a great way to start the show.
Yeah. Two truths and a lie.
Exactly.
Right. So yeah, no, we've got next week for sure. And then we have a recorded episode for the beginning of 2025.
I think it's January 2nd. Mm-hmm. It's a Thursday.
Yeah. And then.
Because where will we be?
I'm going to be in the Caribbean.
I'm also going to be there with you.
Maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to be out on a cruise ship and not coming back till January 6th. So we are pre-recording and we'll see how that goes because that's only going to be the second time we've done it. So that'll be a little bit of a fun adventure and we'll, I'm sure, make lots of nonsense out of it. So what is our theme for today, Mr. Doherty?
Well, obviously it's Christmas.
Obviously.
What's kind of funny about it is it was so hard to actually, in my opinion, pick songs that, I don't know how to put it. There were so many great songs to choose from. There was, you know, I looked at Bare Naked Ladies. I looked at the Band-Aid song because it's been such a long running song since 1984. And I just looked at everything and all the different bands and different genres of music that we love. And I hope I came up with a really good mix of stuff for us to actually go through.
Yeah, you did a really great job. So I'm going to give it to you this week that you picked all the music and did all the prep because I did not.
Yeah, and that's
fine. I've done it in prior weeks, but this week was all you. And be sure, everyone, he will remind me that this was all him this week because it's going to be like, that was our number one rated show.
No.
Imagine why or something like no, that. No. I can imagine.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, so I started off with A Little Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. Which is a great song. And I mean, there's so much stuff to talk about with Justin Bieber. He's had so many great hits, but this was a huge hit for him. Let me talk a little bit about the song. So it was the song was released in October of 2011. It was a lead single from his second album and his first Christmas album. It was called Under the Mistletoe. It's basically a pop kind of slash R&B song. It has a bit of a reggae influence, not maybe so much this song, but that album does. And generally, the actual song itself got pretty good reviews overall. I mean, in 2021, it's kind of funny. 2021, Rolling Stone considered it one of the worst Christmas songs ever.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So when I was doing my research on it, yeah. So, they actually said it was one of the worst. Yeah, in 2021, Rolling Stone placed Mistletoe as number 17 on the list of worst Christmas songs of all time.
I like it. It's poppy and it's fun. And it reminds me, actually, at that time, our kids would have been like, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something like that. So it makes me happy when I think about those good times.
I mean, it's pretty cool. The song reached top 10 in Canada, Denmark, Norway. Missed the top 10 by a little bit. It peaked at number 11 in the U.S., but it also reached the top 40 in 9 other countries, which is great.
Oh, good for Bieber.
Yeah, and the coolest thing, actually, about the whole thing is it set the record for the highest debut for a Christmas song in Billboard Hot 100 history.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it sold 164,000 copies in the first week of release.
That's a lot of copies.
Placing it on number 5 on Billboard's Hot Digital Song chart. So I don't know. It's pretty cool. I mean, estimated that almost 725,000 copies were downloaded by January 2012. So in a couple of months, they got like almost 250,000 downloads, which is pretty cool for a Christmas song. So I'm going to start off. I'm going to throw this one on.
Yeah, we'll come back. Let's kick it off.
Yeah, let's kick it off with this song because we got a ton of music to talk about today.
Let's go. It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. I don't want to miss.
us out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. With you, shawty, with you. With you, shawty, with you. Everyone's gathering around the fire, chestnuts roasting like a hot July. I should be chilling with my folks, I know, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. Word on the street, Santa's coming at night. Reindeer's flying through the sky so high. I should be making a list, I know, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. Shawty, with you. Shawty, with you. Merry Christmas. It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spend so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I will be under the mistletoe. I don't wanna miss out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe.
Kicked it off. I think it was a great song to do so.
That is a great song. And I was looking at the list of what is up next. And the next song has also been nominated one of the worst Christmas songs ever. So I'm wondering, is that the list you Googled?
I bet, apparently. No, but what's funny is, I mean, the critics, you know, I think they just love the old standards. And we're going to play one a little bit later on. But these are songs that are, you know, newer. And I, you know, it's not I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I think they just bring a different perspective. And I think people are a little more critical of the newer music than they are of the older stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't love the older music. There's some songs that are sentimental, but even White Christmas or whatnot, to me, kind of sounds sad. It's just the era of music was kind of sad. Even like 70s music kind of is a sad era. I don't like 70s. I can go right back to the 80s and be happy and like good 80s music, but 70s music just had this sad tone to it.
I don't know. Well, maybe the yacht rock type of stuff, but there's a great amount of disco and kind of that funk, that new funk that was coming in and electronic. And then you've got that pop punk. I mean, it really depends. I'm going to take...
Are we going to challenge that?
Yeah, I'm going to challenge that.
We should actually challenge what is the best decade. Because when I think of the 70s, I can think of the Bay City Rollers, the YMCA, whoever they are.
Sure,
the YMCA.
Okay, are you kidding me? Come
know,
on,
I
Village
know.
People?
Village People.
I
think
brain
I
freeze.
Had like a Sean Cassidy album, Air Supply album. Maybe I just had bad music in the 70s.
I'm thinking you just had bad music taste. Like it might have been just you and your sister. Maybe.
Maybe
you know.
We just had
I mean, I had some great
taste.
Stuff. I had Neil Sedaka, and I know it's not 70s, but I had like that. I had Boston, Styx, Kiss.
Oh, Supertramp.
Supertramp. Yeah, I mean, but that's 70s, right? Like, so that's in early 80s, but, and then you've got Eagles, not the Eagles, but Eagles. and just that kind of really good stuff. Fleetwood Mac. There's some really, really good music in the 70s. So I'm going to kind of take, I'll challenge you on that. I think we should play what you think is the worst 70s one week, and I'm going to tell you what I think is the best.
No, because then I'll be depressed by the end of the episode.
Well, no, maybe with your stuff.
Well, I could talk to the girl before me because she has the saddest show ever or something like that, so maybe she'll help me.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, we went down a rabbit hole that was not planned on how terrible the 70s were, so we'll come back to the happy Christmas music of the now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great song. I mean, I know that there was, it was actually found to be, or they, it was on, is it on Jezebel.com that says it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they say it's one of the worst Christmas songs ever. But I remember when this came out, I thought this was a great song. I remember, I think...
Okay, why don't we tell people what we're talking about?
Okay, so the song is called The Christmas Shoes. And it's been covered by like a lot of different bands. There's been a country version. I actually wanted to play the pop punk version of it. But I know, I'm not going to. By FM Static. They do a really good kind of punk version of it. And I thought it would be kind of cool. But I won't. So... let's talk about the song. You can say it was...
So it was sung originally by a Christian vocal group called New Song, and it was in around the summer of 2000. I remember starting to hear it on the radio, and I remember phoning you and saying, oh my gosh, have you heard this song? It's going to tear your heart out.
Yeah, I actually do remember you saying that, and I literally... I didn't Google it. I actually went to my music library, and it was in it. It was a great song. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. It was a little unusual because it's almost like it's a story being told.
Oh, it
and
is.
And about this guy, you know. And we'll play the song and people, you know, can decide for themselves and literally go to any of our socials and put up if you like the song or not. I think that'd be a great way to talk about it. Or call in. So you can call us at 613-533-CFRC or 613-533-2372. Give us a shout and we'll talk to you about it.
Okay, why don't we play it and then we'll come back and kind of give some additional thoughts about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great song.
It was almost Christmas time. There I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing round like little boys do, and in his hands he held a pair of shoes. And his clothes was dirty from head to toe, and when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. They counted pennies for what seemed like years in the cashier said, son, there's not enough here. He searched his pockets frantically. Then he turned and he looked at me. He said, Mama made Christmas good at our house, though most years she just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I gonna do? Somehow I've gotta buy her these Christmas shoes. Down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, Mama's gonna look so great. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please.
It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. Christmas is all about.
Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
Marinheiro, vai, vai, vai buscar a Laurindinha. Vai, marinheiro, vai, vai, ela é tua, não é minha. Sim, nosso é, com toda a certeza, o programa Atlantis, que transmitimos dos estúdios da CFRC, no quadrante 101.9 FM, em sistema de cabo 90.9, aos domingos das 18 às 20 horas, com locução de Eduardo Pereira.
Vai,
all right, well, that was a commercial.
What he said.
Yeah, that was great.
I am required to pick a promo, and I pick random promos sometimes.
That was great. I loved it. I
have no idea what that was.
I loved it. It was great.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, the last point that we were just going to remind people on the Christmas shoes was that they did make a made-for-TV movie about it.
I'm sure it was
I don't
lovely.
Think it was good.
Yeah, I don't think it was either.
Yeah. They were probably stretching for content or something. Again, it's a beautiful song. It has a beautiful message, regardless of what you believe in. It is a beautiful message.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's, you know, somebody just wanting to help someone else where he sees them in need. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
I do recommend, though, if you like that song in any form or fashion, there's a really cool punk pop version of it by FM Static. They did a pretty cool cover of it, I got to be honest. So play that or listen to that on okay. your own time.
All
so
right. I'm not going to because I like the original.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about Diamond Rio next.
Yeah, so Diamond Rio is a pretty cool band. We actually went to see them when they did this album.
We did.
Which is kind of neat. So we were in Nashville, and I know we bought tickets to go see these guys. We saw these guys, and we saw Cirque du Soleil again.
We were on this big, crazy Christmas adventure.
Yeah.
And... I think we told the story already about the big fight we had in the Grand Ole Opry parking
lot. Yeah,
left.
I mean, we can surpass that part.
We can skip that part.
Yeah, we can totally skip that part. But the part about going to see Diamond Rio, I really loved because I had no idea actually what we were in for,
if I remember
correctly. And they just started, they played some of their hits, and then we had it was like a dinner show. And then they were kind of, it was kind of cool because it was an acoustic version of them more than anything. If you remember, they were pretty, I don't know. It was pretty neat and it was really subdued and it was a really nice experience. We were just sitting having dinner and then next thing I know, they start singing some Christmas songs and I was like, I didn't even know they had a Christmas album.
No, it's funny. So here's the hindsight on that one is we bought tickets for the Diamond Rio Christmas show. And then said we didn't realize it was a Christmas show.
Yeah, I know.
So bad on us.
But well, yeah, but I didn't know they had a Christmas album. And based on this, it's their one and only Christmas album they've ever done.
Oh, it's great. We have it.
Yeah, I know. We bought it at the end of the show. I was like, yeah, we'll buy a CD. I really like the music.
You just aged us when you have to buy a CD at the end of the show. At least it wasn't an album.
Well, no, but it's funny because you say that, but you look at Taylor Swift, you look at Ariana Grande. Taylor Swift sold the most vinyl this year. CDs this year. She sold a single at every show. She sold something like over a couple of million of them. And then last year, Ariana Grande on her tour, she sold a couple of million CDs as well. So CDs, I think, are making a comeback to some degree. And vinyl is definitely on a rampage. I had somebody reach out to me this week and say, hey, where can I buy used vinyl? I'm like,
my garage.
You can't buy it in our garage.
Well, I'll give it to you for free.
You can come and look at it. But I mean, vinyl, there's vinyl stores popping up everywhere again. And it's pretty funny. We actually got that Sam the Record Man.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we haven't posted that yet.
No, we haven't. We should do that.
This really cool sticker from one of the teams at Loaf and Ale on Friday night. And he brought in the sticker, and it was Stompin' Tom from 1992. And it was like a tour sticker. And then when you flipped it over, it actually said you could get a cassette or a compact disc, not a CD, a compact disc from Sam the Record Man. You get $10 off or something. We'll post it. It was kind of funny because it actually goes back to 1992. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, let's talk about this song, though, because this song is called The Star Still Shines. And it's, it's around Christmas time, so you're going to get a lot of the Christmas-themed music today. And Diamond Rio does a really good job, and this is an original song of theirs.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I guess what I was going to add to that was, we're at this lovely dinner theater in the Grand Ole Opry, and they're putting on this beautiful show. I don't think I realized how much music of Diamond Rio's I already knew and appreciated. So as they started singing their songs, I was like, oh, this is Diamond Rio. I know this song, Meet in the Middle, or some other rather great songs. And yeah, I was really, really enjoying it. But about halfway through, it really flipped into feeling more like a church service.
Well, yeah, they actually started reading scripture.
They did. They were reading from the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, you've bought tickets to a Christmas show. That could happen. But I remember saying to you after, like, I'm fine because we go to church. We do that. But if I was not of that faith, I would have been a little taken aback of how much it turned into a church service.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think maybe
everybody else pays attention to what they buy.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we buy tickets on the random, as you know. I mean, and go to all sorts of different types of music, right? Like Evanescence and, you know, stuff like that.
We don't do that.
No, we
stop trying to make that a thing.
We are.
We don't do that.
We are, and we're going to continue to do it because I think it's great. I was actually thinking about a concert that's happening tomorrow night.
We're very busy tomorrow night. We're not skipping ahead to this, but Loaf and Ale is fully booked tomorrow night.
No, sorry, not tomorrow night, Saturday night after there's a hockey game.
We're going to the World Junior Hockey game.
I know, but after that, there could be a concert slipped in.
No. Anyways, right, let's go ahead and play this lovely song.
Well, yeah, so let's go. I mean, this great song, Diamond Rio, do we want to talk about it, though? I think
we did already. No. Play it.
No. All right.
What more do you have to say?
Nothing. Here we go.
There was a star in the eastern sky, shone down on Bethlehem. A few had recognized the sign, a king was born to them. It drew them to a manger, to a virgin mother's son. Would draw us to salvation, God's gift to everyone. And the star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. It beckons us to seek him, wise men still do. Wise men still do.
troubled times. The world seems so out of tune. Sometimes it's like we're living without a flame to light the room. If you're feeling faithless and you think you've lost your way, there is a hope that's bright enough to turn your night to day. And the star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. It beckons us to seek him. Wise men still do. A candle in the wind. It's a light that shines forever, not just every now and then. The star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. Still do.
Late in the 1970s, four Kingston women got together to discuss the idea of creating a community house, a place where grassroots organizations, families, and groups could gather, a place where food could be prepared and shared, new skills could be learned, and lively discussion could be encouraged. For over 30 years, Kingston Community House has provided low-cost meeting space for hundreds of groups, allowing people to come together to learn from one another, share resources, and trade skills. As it becomes safe once again to gather in person, we look forward to providing the Kingston community with a comfortable and convenient place to reconnect with one another. Located in downtown Kingston, we operate 7 days a week. For more information on Kingston Community House and how to book, please visit kingstoncommunityhouse.org.
Apparently you don't know when not to talk.
That's our life motto.
Crazy. I'm like, before we turn the mic on, I'm looking at you and you go, no, we're good. And then so I turn the mic on and then you go, 5 seconds.
I don't think anybody heard me.
I'm pretty sure everybody heard you.
That's okay.
That's all right. So anyway, that was a cool song. Again, pretty neat. I love the Diamond Rio.
Yeah, very Christian. We talked about bringing them to Kingston, remember?
Yeah, I know. It'd be kind of cool. Yeah, yeah. So next we're going to talk about Michael Bublé. And I mean, we've talked about Michael Bublé till the cows come home. Love his show. His concert was great. We saw him in Ottawa. And the front of the stage was actually a moving piano key, remember?
Yeah.
The whole board actually moved the whole stage. It was kind of cool. But we're going to talk about one of the songs that he's covered, and it's called It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. I mean, the song's been around since 1951.
Wow.
Perry Como was the first person to ever write it and record it. I don't actually think he wrote it, actually, but he did record it. So, and I mean, it's Perry Como and the Fontaine Sisters with Mitchell Avery's and his orchestra actually do it. in 1951. So, and what's crazy about it is their edition of this became the most successful version of the song ever. And it's still widely used and played today with over 382 million streams on Spotify as of March 1st, 2024, which is a crazy number. And I don't know if you remember, it was in the Polar Express.
I think so.
Yeah.
I have a different left turn to take, speaking of Michael Bublé.
Okay.
What movie did we recently watch that he was in and it was bad? Didn't we watch a movie on the weekend that Michael Bublé was in and then we turned it off?
Yeah, I can't remember, but it wasn't good.
It was some guy who was like trying to travel across the country.
Oh,
he got
stuck somewhere.
And he kept running into Michael Bublé.
Yeah. It wasn't good. It was kind of like this weird documentary about him getting stuck at Christmas. He was a comedian.
Yes.
And he was getting stuck at Christmas, and then Michael Bublé kind of messed with him, made him go and do some games at a hockey game.
But like, Jimmy Fallon was in it.
Yeah, there was a lot of huge artists in it.
That's why we put it on.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was going to be good, but it wasn't. So, yeah, we turned it off. So that's fine. I mean, that's okay. I mean,
that's just what I thought of. I usually think, well, Michael Bublé, I'm a fan, absolutely. But he has been in quite a bit lately that's unexpected. And he is a coach on The Voice, so I'm enjoying that. Might be over now.
Yeah, I think he won The Voice this year.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we could ask your mom.
And my mom will know.
Your mom will definitely know. Anyway, I think this song's a pretty cool song. I didn't do a huge deep dive into it. They say that the song actually, the popular belief is the song actually is from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. And it's all about this Grand Hotel. And I mean, apparently the song refers to the tree in the Grand Hotel and one in the park as well. And the park being Frost Park, directly across the road from the Grand Hotel, which still operates apparently in a newer building under the same site as the old hotel. Anyway, let's play this song because it's we have a lot of music to get through today and a lot of things to talk about. So here, enjoy this because this is a great Michael Bublé cover.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Have it. A great song.
And I didn't speak.
You didn't, but you were messing with me.
I was messing with you.
And it's pretty funny because our son's here today and he's actually recording us. So we've been laughing while this stuff's been going on. I actually wanted to listen to all the words so I could go, oh, yeah, yeah. He talks about the tree in the park. No.
We wasn't paying attention. That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Let's talk about our weekend because it's a pretty busy one. Tomorrow night is our last show at the Loaf and Ale until January 10th because we are away. And it is going to be packed. So if you haven't made reservations, please reach out to us on Facebook and reach out to Sherry at 613-217-9398. And that's her cell number. You can reach her. You can buy a house from her or you can book your table for Loaf and Ale for tomorrow night. For all those people that have already booked, thank you. I appreciate it. But it feels like it's going to be jam-packed.
Do you have the rounds?
I do. Let me get them for you.
Okay. Do you want me to talk while you look them up?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that I'm looking them up, but I'm looking them up.
Remind yourself, right, of what the rounds are for tomorrow night.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so for sure tomorrow night we are all at the Loaf and Ale. It is our final celebration of the year, like you talked about. On Saturday and Sunday during the day, we need to take care of some business in the Doherty household because Christmas is creeping up really quickly, as well as a 10-day vacation for you and I. So we have some stuff that we need to take care of. We don't have a Christmas tree up yet. We have a nativity scene, which is basically the only sign that Christmas is happening in our house right now. So we should probably do something about that. We should probably also start our Christmas shopping. So we don't have a ton of Christmas shopping to do because the kids are adults and we've already bought them some fairly expensive things and said, here's your Christmas, here's your birthday. And there's not a lot left, but we're going to do stockings between the four of us who live in our house. So you and I, our son and my mother, and we're going to do something. So I should probably have something to put in those stockings.
I did mine already.
That's good. I appreciate that. However, for me, that typically means a trip to Walmart or Shoppers Drug Mart, and I get 4 toothbrushes and 4 dental flosses and 4 deodorants, and everybody gets their clean things for the year. When they know it's Christmas. I mean, you all know you're getting a toothbrush, so don't buy a new one. At any rate, and then Saturday night, we're going to the World Junior Hockey Game with some friends of ours who have a local business and invited us to join them to the World Junior Hockey Game.
In their box
at the Splash Puppy Place.
So I'm pretty excited about that. That'd be great to hang out with them. I've never actually sat in a box at the Slush Puppy Place, so I'm pretty interested to see what it's kind of like and what the view is like from there.
I did.
Have you?
Way back in my Assurant days. But yeah, I did sit in a box. I don't remember paying much attention to the hockey game, which is pretty normal for me. I'm usually talking.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a good time to be with people and hang out and do stuff.
And then Sunday. Oh, hold on. I'm trying to blank on what we're doing on Sunday.
I'm going to church.
Yeah. Oh, I know what we're doing. So don't tell any of my clients, especially if you're listening, but it's Christmas gift delivery day for my clients. So anybody who bought or sold a home for me this year will get a lovely surprise visit from Terry and I on Sunday afternoon with a little Christmas gift to tell people to enjoy their first Christmas in their new home. And we're doing that. And then we are going to have a Zoom call with our besties in Atlanta on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that.
We always quite enjoy them. So we have some friends in Atlanta that we travel with every couple of years. They're really great friends of ours. So we're going to have a Zoom call with them before Christmas.
And drop it on them that we want them here next Christmas.
Yeah, we're going to invite them here next New Year's Eve.
For the wedding.
So we're very excited about that. And then we're rolling straight into Monday is our son's birthday. And Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and Wednesday is Christmas Day, and Thursday we're having Friendsmas at our house on Boxing Day, and then Thursday night we fly away.
No. Thursday. Well,
Thursday we drive to Syracuse, and then we fly away.
Yes.
As a technicality.
Yeah.
Okay, did you find the rounds?
I did, actually. So let me tell you. Round 1, Christmas classics. So always got to throw a Christmas one in there. You might have heard a couple of songs today. You might not have. Round two is songs played by marching bands. And this was really cool. So it was songs that marching bands like to perform. And there's a ton of songs. I didn't know there were so many songs. It's not Flight of the Bumblebee. Like, it's not going to be weird stuff like that. Not that it's weird, but not that kind of stuff. But it's actual.
Is it the band's version or the original version?
No, it's the, I'm playing the original version.
Oh, I thought you'd be playing the band. That you had
no,
to guess the song.
I thought about it, but then I was like, no, that'll be crazy tough. I mean, it's almost like the Cleverleys at that point.
Yeah, the Cleverleys were funny.
Yeah. And then the third round is actually songs used in the TV show Friends.
Oh, you don't like Friends.
I know.
You're one of the only living humans who don't like the show Friends.
Can't stand it. But what I do like is the music from it. So when I was doing the research on it, I was like, oh my gosh, there is so many great bands. What I found, though, is a lot of the same the bands were used over and over again. So there was a ton of, like, we'll call it Goo Goo Dolls. All of their songs, it feels like, were used in different bands. But yeah, so we've got that. And then round four, where did round four go? Oh, O Canada. So it's all Canadian artists. So I'm doing a Canadiana round. And then I have a Justin Casey's fifth round.
Oh, no.
I do.
How mad does it make me when you throw in a fifth round?
Well, hang on.
Because it's 11 o'clock at night.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, I do have a fifth round. Just so you know, guys, I have a fifth round just in case. And then I also have a sixth round.
Oh, I'll be well gone. I'm taking my own car tomorrow night. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I put way extra if needed. And but I won't be doing it, but I don't expect to be, but it really depends. I mean, it could be a really, I'm expecting it to be a great night. It's the first night we're giving out our ballots for the Sum 41.
Mm-hmm. So we released that on social media this week, yeah. All the contest details.
So there's going to be some names already in it because people have already put on our social media account, Sum 41. So there'll be those ballots that'll be going in.
Well, you were already put in automatically if you had bought or sold a home with me this year, yep, or did a wedding or function with you this year. So all of our stage one VIPs were put in there as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on.
A lot going on. And then we cruise away.
And then we cruise away is right.
We can't wait. So that's wonderful. All right, let's play some more music for the people. You were going to play Pentatonix.
Yeah, so Pentatonix is an a cappella group. I can't remember the first place I heard them. I know Sarah Marie loves them.
I was going to say, I feel like Sarah Marie introduced us to them.
Yeah, so our daughter really likes them. And I've got to believe it was the movie that had Pitch Perfect. Yeah, so Pitch Perfect.
Were they in that?
I think they were in it, but their music was definitely in it.
Okay.
And it was really good. I mean, but this is, again, I did a Christmas version of it, of their stuff. So let's go with Mary Did You Know by Pentatonix. And it's funny because when I was prepping this, I played it at my parents' house. And my dad goes, oh, there's a way better version than that. And I was like, yeah, but I want to play this version because it means something to me. So anyway, here we go, guys. A little Pentatonix, Mary Did You Know.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know?
When you kiss your little baby
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation?
That's a pretty awesome song, in my opinion. So it's pretty funny. We were talking about this just as it was kind of playing, and our son reminded us that Ben Platt came from this movie,
Pitch Perfect,
as well as Anna Kendrick, or Kendra, I guess her name is.
Kendrick.
No, is it Kendrick? Yeah. Anna Kendrick? Okay, so.
And they were actually both on Broadway before this.
Yeah, I know.
She was a Broadway kid.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is, they made them really mainstream,
yeah.
Right? Obviously. And we found out that Pentatonix actually was in part two where they actually played the villain. Where they were actually dueling against them and stuff when they went on tour. I love that song. What I didn't know, though, is they actually formed in 2011 and they won NBC's The Sing-Off. And they got a recording contract with Sony Music in 2011. So it's kind of neat. I mean, they're from Arlington, Texas, and they characterize themselves as pop style arrangements with vocal harmonies, scat singing, riffing, and vocal percussion and beatboxing. And they produce their own covers of songs of modern pop and Christmas songs. So I think they're really cool.
Well, the first time I remember seeing or really paying attention to them was on the Disney Christmas Day Parade that we always watch, and they were performing. And I thought, okay, they're beautiful voices, great music, and then I didn't really realize who they were. And I didn't until now just make the connection that they were the band in Pitch Perfect 2 that they were battling, but makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, I think they're a pretty neat band. I think they've got some really good stuff. Here, I'll give you that.
Well, I had one other thought when you mentioned Ben Platt. And on the off chance that Ben Platt is listening.
He's not.
He could be, or somebody could know him.
Sure.
And you don't get anything that you don't ask for, but it would be awesome if he would love to come and sing at our daughter's wedding.
Wow, yeah.
I'm putting it out to the universe. Somebody might know Ben Platt.
Okay.
I don't want to pay for Ben Platt. I can't afford that. But if he wants to come and sing at our daughter's wedding next New Year's Eve, we'll take it.
Sure.
We'll have him as a guest on 30 Years of Nonsense because he needs that to boost his career.
Sure. That's a crazy thought. And in all honesty, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, you don't get what you don't ask for.
No, absolutely you don't. Let's talk about the next song.
Okay. So we are going to talk about Last Christmas by Wham. One of the best Christmas songs. I love it. Funny you didn't pick Mariah Carey. She's the queen of Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, she's overplayed.
Well, I think it's the number one song played in the world for Christmas.
As I say, it's overplayed.
Overplayed. Okay, so you like Last Christmas by Wham?
Yeah, we actually listened to a podcast, so we should probably talk about that.
You just said you didn't want to.
No, just a little bit. Let's just kind of touch on the podcast. Okay, I'm going sideways again. But so the podcast was all about the Band-Aid song, Do They Know It's Christmas? And they talk that Wham released their song at the same time as Band-Aid released Do They Know It's Christmas? And the Wham song was number two for like 15 years. And it only recently, I think about 10 years ago, which is recently in my mind, became number one in the UK for a Christmas song, but it was number two forever. And I love Last Christmas. I was playing this in my parents' house and my mom loved the song. And I fondly remember that song from 1984. It's a great song.
I agree. Are we talking about the Band-Aid podcast?
No.
Or are we talking about Wham? No,
I'm talking about Wham.
I wanted to talk about the Band-Aid podcast a little bit because it was very interesting. Terry sent me a text message when he was driving to Toronto one day this week, and it was basically him forwarding me a podcast saying, but the way that the platform sends it to you, it says you must listen to this.
Yeah, it was weird.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I must listen to this. Because Terry's not one to like send bold, full cap text messages with no emojis or anything.
No.
But it was almost like you were angry and I must listen to this. So that I felt like I had to listen to it. And it was very interesting about how it came together. And I guess I would share like a couple of things that stuck with me that struck. And it was a 30-minute podcast and the first 20 minutes were great. And then it got a little controversial. So we'll leave the controversial parts alone.
For sure.
But I thought it was really interesting that it was, they said that it was the part that really launched Bono's career.
Yeah, it's funny. And I had to think about that again. So yes, he was probably, they were pretty popular in Ireland, but I don't think they were worldwide popular. Unless you were from Ireland or had Irish roots. Like I knew about U2 in the early 80s. I mean, the War album was out. I mean, there was, and Boy had already been out. So it's funny. They say that, but I think it's more mainstream.
Well, maybe pushed him beyond the borders of Ireland.
Yeah, in the UK, possibly.
Right. So you had to have been somebody to be invited to participate on it. But well, this really catapulted him is what they were saying.
Yeah. And I can't remember the guy's name from the Boontown Rats now. Who produced it?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I'm just straight up telling you, I don't know.
I'm losing my mind.
It doesn't matter. The point was, I wanted to also say though that there were saying in this documentary, and by the way, there's a play coming out, a Mervish play. That's coming out in 6 weeks in Toronto, which is about this, about Band-Aid. And so I saw a commercial for it the other day and said, I want to go to Toronto to see this. So we'll have to put that on the roster of things that we do in the new year. But also a lot of the lyrics didn't stand the test of time. And apparently Bono didn't want to sing the iconic lyric, "Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you."
Yeah, absolutely.
He wasn't comfortable.
I don't want to be controversial about anything. I mean, this song is what it is. It was written in 1984.
Their intentions were good.
Yeah. I mean, it raised a ton of money for famine relief. And then you went on and there was Farm Aid. There were so many other different...
Well, it became a way to raise awareness and raise money for causes. The other thing that I said to you was interesting. And I mean, you were born in...
Ireland.
I know where you were born. I was going to say Britain or that side of the world kind of thing. But they were talking about how Margaret Thatcher wanted to tax it.
Yes.
So
she wanted to put a VAT tax on
it. It was a VAT. And I literally got to a stoplight and Googled what is VAT. Because I knew it must have been a tax the way they were talking about it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't born and raised there, so I didn't really know what it was. But how every studio, producer, artist, every single person had contributed their time. And it was all by donation. And then the government of the time wanted to put a tax on the record sales.
Yeah. It's funny. It's Bob Geldof that wrote it. But he was from the band, the Dublin band, Boontown Rats. Now, when I say that, you go, okay, but he actually just wrote the words. The actual music was written by Mitch Urie, and he's from Ultravox. And they were a pretty popular 80s band as well, but nobody ever gives him credit for his part in it, which is funny. And
yeah, there was some riff. There is a riff about it
because Bob Geldof actually becomes Sir Bob Geldof. As a result, he gets knighted for this song and for his contributions to the famine relief. But yours doesn't get any contribution or any acknowledgement about it. And he wrote the music. And I mean, the music is incredible.
Yeah.
And then you've got the American group that goes on and does their version of it as well, right? Later on. So, but anyway, let's step away from that.
Let's go back to Wham.
Let's talk about Wham. And I mean, Last Christmas is a great song. I think it was amazing. Let's just play it because, let's go with that. Let's just play it, guys.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but
time. I got to be honest, guys. We're almost ready to kick it off to the next show. I just want to talk about Last Christmas pretty quickly here. So Last Christmas spent 5 consecutive weeks at number 2 in the UK singles chart. it has been covered by so many different people. So Wigfield, it's pretty funny. Crazy Frog, Billy Piper, Taylor Swift, and Ariana Grande have both covered this. And I'm remiss in saying what I said. So I originally said it was 10 years ago. It was actually New Year's Day 2021 is when it finally reached number 1 on the charts in the UK. So it for 36 years, it was the best selling Christmas song to never reach number 1.
Really? That is interesting.
That is really interesting. So yeah, I think